All right, good morning. And once again, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, which is about half of us in this room. Thank you for all that you do for us. I say us, men, yep, you too. There was a story, I want to tell you a story about a mom. She had a three-year-old, and then she had like an eight-month-old girl, and she had to go into the kitchen to do something. And I remember this too, because I remember sometimes it's just a little bit easier to set like grandma on the couch and put a few pillows around them, you know, to go make them a bottle. Because I mean, to have two hands to make a bottle is a lot easier than having to have one arm and the baby and whatnot. But so I sympathize with that. So this mom, she's got them all propped up, and she tells her son, she says, "Now you got to watch your sister. Okay, watch her, you know." So she goes to the kitchen, and of course, you know, 10 seconds later, she hears a thud and a crash and crying and everything. And the mom rushes back in the room, and she's like tending to the baby and says, "I told you to watch him, little boy." She says, "I'm still watching." Now, you moms out there, you have this amazing ability to multitask. And I don't. I've been trying to learn how to multitask for a long time in my job and at home, and I just can't do it, you know. But I think to you moms, it all comes kind of naturally to you, I think. And you do so much for so many people, and you have all these things in your head that you can keep it straight throughout the day and get things done and accomplished. And the unconditional love and support that you show your families and to your children. And when I think about God's unconditional love, you know, I think about a mom, you know. You love in such a way that it is unfailing, and it just never fails. And son, you know, you love your kids so much that sometimes you embarrass them because you love them so much. My mom posted a picture of me on Facebook last weekend. I turned 35, and one reason why I know she posted the picture is because somebody here in the assembly had told me that Alex looks like me, or vice versa. I look like Alex. You know, we look alike. But I said, "Oh, you haven't seen the picture of me when I was 4 years old before my surgery, and I had all this nice blonde hair on top of my head." So she posted that picture on Facebook, and then she posted a picture of Graham right beside it. And I definitely looked like Graham at 4 years old, the way that he looks now. But I think she did that because she loves me, and that's how I'm going to take it, at least, you know. And Mother's Day, I know, is somewhat of an emotional day for some of you out there, because you know you don't have your mom. In fact, I woke up this morning and I thought to myself, I worked with Cheryl Burnett this past week, and she was my coworker for about 3.5 years when we were meter reading together. And she lost her mom last September, so I thought, you know, I'm going to message her this morning and say something to her, because this is her first Mother's Day without her mom. But I know for some of you it's been a long time, you know, since your mom's not been here. But you always remember that you have the lessons that your mother passed on to you, and you've now passed them on to your children, and they're going to pass them on to their children. So you know that they're going to be remembered for a lot of things and for the right reasons for a lot of years to come. So now, to all the smaller children in here, that would be you all, 13 years old, 10 years old, 8 years old, 6 years old. You guys listening? Are you listening? There's going to be times when your mother is giving you a hard time, and she's raising her voice to you because you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. But you always remember that she's only giving you a hard time, and she's only raising your voice because she wants to protect you. She wants to take care of you. She wants to protect you. All right? And that's what they do. Moms are protectors. They're disciplinarians. They're counselors, gardeners, doctors, nurses. They're chauffeurs, they're fans, they're encouragers. And that's what you are. That's what you always do. And all of those things are a mom, and you have to remember that mothers are a link to God. And I hope that somebody other than me today with this sermon has honored you already, or will honor you for what you do for your families, and the love and the support that you show your families on a daily basis, because you all are so deserving of this day. You're deserving of more than one day, that's for sure. But on this day, we definitely honor you. I remember seeing a cartoon. I don't even know where I saw it, but it was a psychologist, and he was sitting with a patient. The patient was a mother, and she was tired, wore out, and she was frustrated. And the psychologist goes, "Well, I see here that you told me that you spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% of your energy on your husband, and 50% of your energy on your children." Not hard to see what the problem is here, you know. Because you are a reflection of the love that God has for everybody, really, on this earth, the entire human family, I want to talk to you this morning about another mother that is mentioned in Scripture. Now, she doesn't have a name, so we're just going to call her Mrs. Z this morning. You open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 23. Now, she's very concerned about the well-being of her two boys, and she's only wanting what is best for them. So she comes to Jesus with a rather unusual request. But she requests this because she is very concerned about the state of the kingdom of God. She's very concerned about what's going to happen when Jesus establishes his kingdom. So we'll read Matthew 20, verses 20 through 23, taken out of Hugo McCord's translation. It says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, and she fell at his feet and asked something of him. He said, 'What do you wish?' And she replied, 'Let my son sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your kingdom.' And he answered, 'He says, you do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup which I'm going to drink?' They answered, 'We can.' And he said to them, 'You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right or left hand, this is not mine to give, but for whom it has been prepared by my Father.'" Now, if you don't know who the Zebedee's sons are, they're James and John. Okay. So James and John's mother, she knew about Jesus' teachings. She also was very aware that she was part of that they were two-thirds of that little inner circle that Jesus had. Now, what am I talking about? Well, you go back to the Transfiguration on the mountain. You know who was there? Peter, James, and John. Okay. Do you know who was outside the gates of the garden whenever Jesus was in there praying? Peter, James, and John. So you see that in his greatest time of sorrow, James and John are there. In his greatest moment on this earth, well, you know, you could argue the Transfiguration, they were there. And she wanted to just make sure that when the kingdom of that was established, that her boys were not forgotten, that Jesus would remember them. And I think that's what we all want for our kids. We all want the best for our children, moms and dads included. And we want to make sure that they're successful and that they plan for their future. And we make sure that we help them as much as they can. Well, that's all she's doing here too, you know, with this request. She doesn't want her sons to just be in the kingdom. She wants them to have positions of authority and power. Wants them to be in charge. Because, you know, her boys are better than everybody else's boys. Right? I say that with a smile because I happen to think that I've got the best looking kids on the planet. You know? But I'm biased. Just like you all, you think that you have the best looking kids on the planet too and the best looking grandchildren. You know? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just trying to give you an idea that this is her mentality going into this conversation with Jesus. She says, she might think that because they're so close to Jesus, they're the best, they're the most spiritual, and they're the closest to Jesus anyway. So if you're going to give positions of right and left, you may as well give it to my boys. And so has anybody asked you yet? And here she asks, you know. But as hard as we might want to be, because I'm guilty of this too, I look at this and think, you know, this is just another instance where somebody does not really understand what the purpose of Jesus was coming here for, okay? But instead of looking at it in that light, let's look at it positively, okay? At least she brought the question to the right person, right? She recognized Jesus' authority to be able to do this. You know, she didn't try to backstab or connive her way into getting her sons what she wanted her sons to have. Okay, and there's the lesson for us. We need to come to Jesus for the needs of our children as well. And this little snippet here, this little section of Scripture is pretty interesting when you keep it in the context of what Matthew writes in the first part of this chapter. If you don't know that story, a man goes out and he goes into the marketplace and he comes at sunup and he contracts out with some workers for a denarius a day. That's what they agree to. All right, so sun's up. So at the third hour, about 9 a.m., we'll call it, he goes out, he hires more workers. And he says, "Come and work, and I'll pay you." Now, they don't agree on an amount. He just says, "I'm going to pay you what I think's right." Okay? He goes out the sixth hour at noon. He goes out, he hires more workers. He goes at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., he hires more workers. And at the 11th hour, he goes out, he hires workers. And at the end of the day, he says, "Call everybody together, and I'm going to pay them, and I'm going to pay them." So the last group gets to get paid first. They get a denarius. The second group, a denarius. They come on down the line. Of course, that first group is very dissatisfied with the fact that they only got paid one denarius and they'd been out there all day versus these people that had only been out there literally an hour before the sun went down. And they'd worked throughout the heat of the day. And he just tells them, "Isn't this what you agreed to?" Well, that doesn't really sit very well with Mrs. Z because, you know, she might have heard the story and thought, "Well, that's not quite fair because my boys have been with you since the beginning. They were the first ones that were called with Peter, James, Andrew, and John." Okay? But no matter how presumptuous her request might be, how ridiculous we might think it sounds, let's not forget and let's not be too hard on her because she's only trying to secure a future for her kids. That's it, for her two boys. Love and concern drove her to do this. And you notice that Jesus does not deny the request. He simply reminds her of what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's all he does. Just realize what it is that you're asking. But still, on the flip side of it, she is only asking that her children be a part of something that is way bigger than themselves. And that is a pretty good, great request that Mrs. Z asks of Jesus for her two sons. You know, we pray for the success of our children. We pray that maybe they go to a good school and that they get a good job and they have a nice house and that they have the abilities to provide for their families. And there's nothing wrong with that. But do we ever pray about their spiritual success? Now that's something, if I'm being honest with myself, that's something that sometimes I get lost on, you know. But I don't think you moms do. I really don't. Are we all like Mrs. Z to come humbly before Jesus, to make our requests known to Him for our children's spiritual well-being? But here's another question. It's one thing to pray for their spiritual well-being, but how many times do you actually pray that your children will become leaders in the kingdom? Leaders in the church. Because that's all she is asking for to do. She wants her children's lives to matter. Matter more than maybe what... she just wants them to matter. And matter the most. She wants her two sons to shine for Jesus and be there with Him when this kingdom is established and be right there in positions of authority. And why shouldn't we pray that our children would wind up in positions of authority? Because it's important to the future of the church, for one thing. You know, I sit up here and I think to myself, what would I pray for my son, my sons and my daughters? Well, one, I would pray that my daughter would become a great wife and that she would be a leader in a household. I would pray that she would be the spiritual rock in the household like my wife is for my household, because she is. Because she might not agree. She might think I'm putting her up on a pedestal. But she, compared to me, has a very unshakable faith in God, no matter what comes along. And that's what I want my daughter to be in the future. Now, my sons, I want my sons to grow up. I want them to become Christians. I want them to become worship leaders. I want them, with their God-given talents, I want them to be able to take wherever they're at, whether it's here or whatever church they may serve in, that they use their talents to take the congregation to another level up here in their worship with God. And one day when they get older, I want my boys to be elders in the church because I want them to have a love for God that is so strong that it would motivate them to overwatch and to keep watch over the flock of God and help other people in their relationship with God. That's what I want for my boys. Now you might sit there and think, man, Kurt, that's a lot of high expectations for your kids and that's a lot of authority and things that you're praying for your children. It's not authority, but it's serving. Let's get that straight. It's like, well, why wouldn't I ask that for my kids? I mean, we're talking about Jesus. He's the King of the kingdom. Shouldn't we ask big of Jesus for our kids? And to be honest with you, we've got to have more leaders in the church. Not only here, but all over the place. We've got to have more leaders. We've got to have worship leaders. And we've got to have women that are willing to lead others to Christ by their example. And women setting an example of everything that a mother should be. Because like we said, mothers are a reflection of God's love. So when James and John's mother, when she asked Jesus about the right and the left hand, we also have to remember what she also has to remember what she's asking for. you're asking them to undergo the same persecution that Jesus underwent. We're talking about James and John here, okay? Are they willing to die for the cause is the question. And her courage in asking this is the courage that only a mother can have. Because you notice, their father is not mentioned anywhere in Scripture, other than the fact that they were Zebedee's sons. Now, you could speculate all you want to. He could be dead. But the bottom line is, James and John's mother's there. And that's what matters. She has the courage to ask not only that her sons be involved in the kingdom, but they be leaders in the kingdom. Because that's what she wants. And if you read on in Scripture, you find out that, you know, John writes a gospel for crying out loud, you know? And he says, he's referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved because that's how close that he became to Jesus. So in one sense, her prayer and her request, and by the way, notice there in the text it says that she fell at his feet. Other translations say she humbly bowed before him and made this request. So she's not asking this out of anything. She's just saying, Lord, please, I want my children to have positions of authority. But at the same time, her prayer is answered. Her request is answered in the fact that you read on in Scripture, they get uber close to Jesus. James and John do. Now, James dies for the cause. John is a little more fortunate. Well, you say fortunate because church history would indicate that at one point during his persecution, he was boiled in oil and survived. So the pain that he had to undergo for the cause of Christ and yet still survive. Okay, so you understand now that their request is granted. They're a part of the kingdom and they undergo many persecutions. But this is the same thing we were talking about this morning in Bible class with Tristan. Was, you know, when you come and you say you want to be a Christian, do you really fully understand what you're saying, what you're asking? The same way that did James and John's mother really know what she was asking? The request that we make when we say we want to become a Christian is to die to ourselves, not one time when we go down in the water, but every day you take up your cross, you deny yourself, you take up your cross and you follow Jesus. That is an everyday commitment. So when we say we want to become Christians and we say that we are Christians, are we making that sacrifice every day? It's just a decision we make every day to follow after God. But today, like every Sunday, we honor God. We honor God because He shows us His love today and every day. He protects us, He cares for us, He blesses us, and He makes sure that we have the best things in life. Because today, we also honor our mothers, who do the same thing for us every day of our lives too. So when you look at that, I've said it three or four times today because that's also one of the questions on the back of the bulletin is, mothers are a reflection of God's love. A love that continues on forever and that will never fail is a mother's love. There was a survey done in prisons of prisoners that have been in there for more than 15 years. And they asked them on average how many people came to visit them when they were in prison. And from years 0 to 5, it's about average about 10 people come to visit them in years 0 through 5. Years 5 through 10, that number kind of drops down a little bit to like 3, 4, 5 people would consistently visit them on average in years 5 through 10. But after 15 years, you know on average, you know what the average number drops to? One person. And you can probably guess who the one person is. It's their mother. On average, one person after 15 years of being in prison will visit them, and it's their mom. And it's that unconditional, unfailing love of a mother that we honor this morning. And if you're here this morning and you've not obeyed the gospel, but you have experienced a mother's love, I have to tell you that God loves you even more than your mother does. God loves you so much, He sends His only Son, and He sent His only Son to die for you. And that precious blood that was shed on the cross by Jesus will continue to cleanse us from all of our sins from now, really into the end of the age, when God decides this earth is done. That's how long that blood will continue to cleanse us, not only of our sin, but any of the sins than anyone that would be called a child of God. That's how long that blood is going to continue to cover and to cleanse sin. So this morning, if you have any need, if your relationship with God is not where you want it to be, if you want to be closer to God, we can help you do that this morning. by prayer, lifting you up in prayer, supporting you. One way we can get closer to God, and I'm not saying this just because I'm up here, I would say this to any person across the world this morning that is listening to whoever it is that is giving the message this morning. Listen to those people that are preaching from the pulpit. Take something out of that to get closer to God. And if you don't take something from that, then study and read His Word 10 to 15 minutes a day. We talked about that in another sermon. 10 or 15 minutes a day of reading the Bible, you can read it through in a whole year. But if there's anything, whatever your need might be this morning, I want you to make it known as together we stand and sing the invitation song.